That was Noam Chomsky on neoliberalism and accounting. He spoke at the University of Massachusetts at Amherst. The legendary MIT professor has been a leading voice for peace and social justice for many decades. This program is produced by Alternative Radio, based in Boulder, Colorado. We are independent and part of the nonprofit media education organization, Rise Up. We are supported solely by individuals just like you. We feature progressive voices rarely heard in the media, such as David Corton, Vandana Shiva, Arun Gandhi, Chris Hedges, Roxanne Dunbar-Ortiz, and Bill McKibben. We also have an enormous archive of Noam Chomsky recordings and some books, too. To access our complete audio and book catalog, just go to our website, alternativeradio.org. Again, our website where we are podcasting, alternativeradio.org. To place a credit card order for CDs, MP3s, or written transcripts of today's program, Noam Chomsky on Neoliberalism and Accounting, call us at 1-800-444-1977. Again, that number is 1-800-444-1977. Or you can order on our website, alternativeradio.org. Joe Ritchie is our general manager and editor. I'm David Barsamyan. Thank you for listening.
Good morning, KBOO listeners. You are listening to KBOO Portland 90.7, your alternative radio station. Coming up in just a few moments, Chris Andre. She hosts Air Cascadia, headlines, interviews, and commentary. At 10:15, we have Flashpoints with Dennis Bernstein. And at 11, on stage and studio, a very special show today, D-May welcomes David Ornette Cherry for an in-depth look at his new music and upcoming CD release. And then, finishing up the morning at 11:30 on Art Focus, Joseph Galavan interviews Danielle Peabody about his show of 21 gunpowder-based drawings called Residue. My name's Tave Fache-Drake. I'll be here until noon, and then we have some wonderful Spanish programming coming up after that. Thanks, KBOO members, for your generous support. And if you're not a member, you can become one by going to kboo.fm and clicking on Donate.
KBOO Community Radio holds open meetings concerning the operations and programming of KBOO in accordance with requirements of the Communications Act of 1934 and certifications requirements of the Corporation for Public Broadcasting. Information about KBOO Community Radio's open meeting policy is available by calling the station at 503-231-8032. Meetings will be held at 20 Southeast 8th Avenue, Portland, Oregon, unless otherwise noted. The Events Committee meets the third Thursday of each month at 6 p.m. Please call 503-231-8032 to verify if a meeting is being held.
morning, Cascadia. Today is Tuesday, June 20th, 2017, and you're listening to KBOO Portland, your community radio, your sanctuary radio, your resistance radio, and your whistleblower radio. We don't leak, we share. At 90.7 FM, on the air, KBOO.FM, everywhere. Weather for today in our bioregion. We've got a slight chance of rain early on. Blink and you missed it. Otherwise, it's mostly cloudy and gradually clearing up. And highs reaching around 76 today. For tonight, mostly clear with a low around 49. And wind kicking up a bit, 8 to 14 miles an hour, gusting up to 20. And for tomorrow night, for tomorrow, sunny, highs around 76. That's about it. For tomorrow night, Wednesday night, mostly clear, lows around 53. And that's it for your weather for this region. A lot of news to get to. A lot of it eye-catching. I notice that we're not saying necessarily interest or intellect catching, but it's we've got the huge maritime collision of a container ship ramming a U.S. destroyer in an increasingly hot area. Shipping and across around about and through shipping lanes, always bad news. But you got to wonder what happened there, and you got, of course, the colossal Trumpian mistake, error. I don't know what to call it. Obviously, there are no mistakes. So just say that the U.S. downed a Russian plane is not a good idea. Probably Trump's idea, since it wasn't a good one. And closer to home, we have an absurd situation where the Republicans, having failed to produce anything resembling an acceptable health care plan for the American people, their own constituents hate everything they've come up with so far. They've gone into this secret session. The doors are closed. This is going to be, if Trump lasts at all, this is going to be a pattern for the next few years. But the secrecy, this star chamber approach to governance, since they have no idea how to govern, the best way to hide it is by doing things in secret. That way, no one knows that they don't know what they're doing. We have joining us today Kevin Zeis, a longtime activist. You've encountered his writings in Truth Out and many other media outlets. And we were very fortunate to have Kevin joining us today. You, Margaret Flowers, are on their way. We should be hearing a lot more reporting on this health care bill that apparently the Republicans are going to produce, and the Democrats are forming a wall, or they're cordoning off the actual government to attempt to forestall the worst is in the works right now. And good morning, Kevin. Thanks for joining us. It's very hard to know how to even begin to talk about what is going on, what the Republicans think they're doing. My feeling is that it's just that since they don't know what they're doing, it's become increasingly obvious, they do it in secret.
Well, that's not unusual. I mean, when a government or a president is doing something the public's not going to like, they try to keep it as secret as possible. You might remember President Obama on the Trans-Pacific Partnership.
Yeah.
They tried very hard to keep that secret. And in fact, the U.S. trade rep for President Obama says that the early part of his administration, when they were keeping it secret, he would say that the more people know about it, the less they'll like it. And so he knew that the best chance of getting it passed was to keep the TPP secret. Now, the same is going on here, and it's obviously Mitch McConnell, who very much knows what he is doing. This is not the Republicans don't know what they're doing.
Yeah.
They know what they're doing. And the House bill was very unpopular. 20% or less support for it. I expect the Senate bill is not going to be much better, and we'll see it when we see it. But the Democrats will oppose it no matter what it says, and I think probably for good reason. But the Republicans know the Democrats are ready. Republicans know the Democrat front groups, the NGOs like Indivisible and Move On, are ready to challenge them at town hall meetings over the recess. They know that their senators will be under attack when this bill becomes known. And it's not because the ACA is a great bill. The Democrat version of the bill is also terrible. It's a market-based bill that gives all the power to the insurance industry. It subsidizes the insurance industry at $100 billion plus a year. It is a massive giveaway to market-based thieves. And so not that the Democrat bill is that great. And the Democrats refuse to stand for what is right, which we all know. Everyone in the public knows that the real solution is national improved Medicare for all, but they won't mention that on Capitol Hill. Even though half the House Democrats have co-sponsored a bill for Medicare for all, Nancy Pelosi refuses to even push it. So I don't see the Democrats or Republicans serving the interests of the people on health care. Under Obamacare, we have about 30,000 deaths a year because people don't have insurance. 29 million don't have insurance under Obamacare. It'll be worse than the Republican bill, but neither party is serving the people, and that's the reality of it. We shouldn't let this charade of the Republicans, this stupidity of writing it in secret, to be the issue. The issue is we have neither party trying to protect our health and letting tens of thousands die a year because they don't have access to health care. That is a shame.
The thing about this is the Medicare is everyone in the country, whether they're Democrat, Republicans, whatever the political party people think of themselves as, everybody concede clearly that Medicare for all is our only option. We really literally can't afford anything else. We can't afford any more debt.
Exactly. Exactly. You're exactly right. This is the improved, and I always say improved Medicare for all, because Medicare has become weaker when both parties want to destroy it. And they want it to be weaker, so people say, oh, let the corporations do it. No, we have to make improved Medicare for all the reality for everyone. Our seniors should not be paying high premiums. They shouldn't be paying high out-of-pocket costs. Everything should be covered, and they shouldn't be paying high out-of-pocket costs for pharmaceutical drugs either. That's the failures of Medicare right now. It's a failure of both parties. Both parties are undermining it. We need instead to expand and improve Medicare so everybody has it. It's the only way we can afford a universal health care system, and it's the only way we can ensure people aren't dying because of the lack of access to decent health care. And that's the reality in the United States, the richest country in the world. It's incompetent. Congress, bipartisan Congress, is unable to deal with tens of thousands of people dying each year because of lack of access to health care. It's an embarrassment and a shame. Both parties should be thrown out of office. Neither of them serve us at all.
I couldn't possibly agree more. So they're going to go home and get an earful of but the public saying some people will talk single payer, some people will talk Medicare for all. But I don't think anybody is going to find this acceptable, whatever Republicans come up, it's entirely self-serving. So leverage, the public leverage, when people do sound off about the catastrophes that they are basically paying for, They are. We're taxpayers. We're paying for these catastrophic mistakes, or intentional mistakes. Like, if you see a tortoise on a fence post, it didn't get there by accident. So it's not a mistake. But how much leverage will the public have? I can't believe I'm asking that question. It's, I mean, supposed to
the
be...
The people have the leverage if they use it. The people do have the power if they use it. One thing I really was interested in this last phase, and when the House was writing its awful bill, the House Republicans writing their awful bill, they had town hall meetings around the country. Mm-hmm. The public opposed the House draft. And what happened was, even though the Democrats organized these meetings as, you know, support the ACA meetings, what happened was the public went into those meetings and said, we want Medicare for all. Many of these meetings became Medicare for all meetings. The public, even though the Democrats weren't trying to push that message, the public on their own knows what they want. The public wants improved Medicare for all. It would help our seniors. It would help every age group. It will help everyone to have a much healthier health lifestyle, and it would be improve the health of the nation. So, even when the Democrats try and their allies like Move On and other organizations try to push protect the ACA, the public steps up and says, we want improved Medicare for all. And that's what the government is not giving us. And that's what we need to keep organizing for. We will get it. We will win it. I urge people to go to healthoverprofit.org. Healthoverprofit.org. We have all sorts of tools there on what you can do to make your voice heard and put it in, help us to put in place improved Medicare for all. We will succeed on this. But people have to mobilize to make it happen.
Thank you so much, Kevin. It's very generous of you to talk to us today. Time is, of course, always slipping away. I want to say thank you so much to both to you and to Margaret Flowers for the activist work that you're doing and the leadership that you have given to the American public, well, to progressives, to people.